For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
No, we've come to a consensus, the entire organization, is to stay at that pick, and I guess you'll find out Thursday night who we pick.
Closing in on the NFL draft, which is just 2 days away, Linnell and Toby are going to have coverage for us here at Odyssey DC deep into the evening. That'll be excellent. Danny and I are going to be at a watch party during the draft. We're not going to be live on air Thursday out and about. We'll be in studio during our show, but when we're done, we're going to get over to National Harbor and to MGM and Tap Sports Bar, where we're going to be hanging out watching the draft. The last time we were there and the Commanders picked, they picked Emmanuel Forbes.
So
just so you know, when we're there, they make picks.
Selections do happen
right
when we're there, unless they don't, and you know, they don't pick before midnight or there's a trade. But the point is, selections have been made before.
Come hang out, watch the draft with us, high five when cool things happen, and eat some wings. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondori & Murad, wants to know. They're going to help you to draft a will, set up a testament, set up a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today. KMLawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's KMLawyers.com. Kondori & Murad. Big Caps fans. I was texting with Wasim last night. He was fired up. The boys are up 1-0 in their series. Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Sam Brookhouse of Sumer Sports joins us now. Sam, we're finally here, man. 2 days away from the NFL draft. What's good?
Man, I'm getting antsy. It seems like no one has an idea what's going to happen from pick 2, which apparently is now on the block. With reports that the Browns and the Giants are fielding calls to trade up to 2 and 3 from other teams, which I suspected as a nihilistic analyst who always wants people to trade back at the beginning of the draft season, or whether it's, where these quarterbacks are going to go and who likes what quarterback. It feels like 2-32 day one is going to be the Wild West, and it hasn't been that way in years, so I'm excited for it.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. I want to go back to what you just said, though, because I get myself in some trouble overanalyzing the semantics of these things from time to time. But I thought that the Peter Schrager report on ESPN that you're referencing was a nothing burger non-report. He just said it in a way, like very slowly, that made it seem like he had news. But to me, he said that teams are calling the Browns at 2 and the Giants at 3 and they're not hanging up. Like, did I miss something? Of course they are. Why wouldn't they? And why would they hang up? That doesn't mean anything.
So here's my kind of thought of it, and it really matters about 2 and 3. And there's 2 pieces of information that I've kind of latched on to going even back into Shrine Bowl talks where Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were close to Shedeur Sanders. But if I have the number 2 pick and I'm the Browns and I know that I'm in an immensely analytical franchise, they employ the Jonah Hill character from Moneyball, Paul DePodesta. He is now a vice president, has been for many years for the Browns, immensely analytical. Andrew Berry has an analytical background as well, their general manager. I am absolutely blowing up the Giants' phone at 3 just to see if they want to draft a quarterback. And if they want to draft a quarterback, say, well, we're taking calls from the Steelers. We're taking calls from the Saints. Because if they can trade back one spot, get extra draft capital, and still get Travis Hunter, who they've used, you know, the word Shohei Ohtani to compare to, that's a real win for me. So I think that's a lot of what's going on. Probably, you know, even some maybe prank calling just to see what you could get. I mean, after all, Luka Doncic was traded this year, right? So who knows what could happen. But I think it is, to your point, kind of a lot of that, a lot of feeling out what could happen, seeing if there's any home runs out there. And if not, you just take the pitch and end up making the selection at two or three.
So this reminds me of 22 here, Sam, in terms of the draft, where there weren't any quarterbacks really highly thought of to go high. It was Trayvon Walker went number one overall to the Jaguars. Right. So this, I think we've got a pretty good feel. Tennessee wants Cam Ward, you know, maybe not a sexier phone, but that's what we know. Just kind of to your point, I really have no idea. From two to three on, I think that influences everybody else. Like, do you get the sense that nobody really knows what Cleveland and New York are going to do? Or do you think maybe this is just disinformation of the last week to sort of see what happens?
I'm kind of the mind that no one really knows what's going to happen. I think if you just were to look at the data, the consensus big boards, the consensus mock drafts, which, as you know, includes some beat reporters who may have more information on any given team and some evaluators who have more information from the scouts themselves. There's really a class of one at the top, and that's Travis Hunter. There's questions about guys like Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, Mason Graham, even Ashton Jeanty, who most of the questions are about him at the running back position, just more generally in the first round. There's questions about that. So it seems like a class of one in Travis Hunter. So I think it would be okay if the Browns just went ahead and selected him. But I think there's a very, very unique thing that we really haven't seen, I guess maybe since like the Daniel Jones draft, where quarterback one is very far away from consensus big board one, consensus big board one being Travis Hunter, Cam Ward being in like the 17s of most consensus big boards. Then you drop to like the 20s or 30s. That's another big gap down to Shedeur Sanders. And then you go to, you know, 50 day two, or round two, round three, Jackson Dart. Those big gaps between the quarterbacks, the most important position in football, lead to so much uncertainty. I, for one, think it's probably a one or two quarterback first round. But guys like Thomas Dimitroff, who have sat in that seat, my boss, the president at Sumer Sports, he has sat in the seat, he has felt the quarterback pressure, and he has dealt with other people who are massively feeling the quarterback pressure as well when trying to make these calls on draft days. On our SiriusXM show on Fridays, he said that he thinks it's going to be four guys, that the pressure is too high, these teams are too in need of quarterbacks, particularly the Steelers, the Saints, the Giants, and that they're going to pull the trigger when the time is right, whether that's trading up to get a guy at the back of the first round or just selecting him with their pick. He thinks there's going to be four guys. So to summarize, I think it's the Wild West out there. No one knows, and everyone is operating with a degree of uncertainty, and they're really going to have to bet on their analytics teams and their evaluators to get a sense of the availability of these quarterbacks if they want to try to grab one, whether that's day one or day two.
Would the fourth be Milroe?
Now, that is an excellent question. Coming out of the Senior Bowl, it felt as if he was the clear fourth, right? In recent weeks, everything from betting odds, the poly market, prediction markets have massively shifted because he's attending the draft. And the NFL has said that they don't want guys attending the draft who will not be selected. They invited him to the draft. Do they know something we don't know? Now, all of a sudden, he seems to have the best tools, especially running the ball, out of any of these quarterbacks. That shows up in our Sumer AI, Sumer scores, talking about running the ball at the quarterback position. Do the Steelers like him because he can have more tools than Justin Fields did last year, more tools than Russell Wilson did last year? I don't know. Clearly, there is something that we don't understand when it comes to Jalen Milroe. But what I can say, he struggled with accuracy this year. He took a lot of sacks, even though he was pretty good at avoiding, you know, what should have been clear sacks. And he just wasn't immensely productive through the air, despite, you know, having Alabama, having Ryan Williams out there at the wide receiver position. So I think right now he has to be in the QB3 discussion with Jackson Dart. And he is certainly probably quarterback four.
Sam Brookhouse, Sumer Sports, with us here on G&D. So, looking big picture, I get the sense this could be 7, maybe 8 defensive ends or edges. Mm-hmm. I guess now we have to refer to them as guys that rush the passer for a living. Might come off the board here in the first round. The reason I bring that up, A, just as a phenomenon, but B, that might be what Washington's looking for at the end of that first round. Your thoughts on this edge market?
It's very unique, and it brings about a question that us data scientists like to always get into when it comes to the draft. And that is, how do we know that any given one of these guys will be better than all the rest? So it seems as if Abdul Carter has set himself apart. He did so with excellent play. He was one of the most disruptive pass rushers in the league, in the NCAA this year, was an immense part of a Penn State team that made a deep run in the college football playoffs. But how do we know that he's better than any of the other 7 that people really think are primo prospects? And the difference really is that he has less questions. Everyone kind of in that second tier has a big question, whether that's Jalen Walker. Can he make the move from the off-ball linebacking position to the edge rushing position full time, if that's possible? To Mike Green, did it at Marshall. Can he do it at the NFL? Shamar Stewart, excellent in our Sumer scores, which grade on the frame by frame basis, but not super productive. Not a lot of tackles for loss, not a lot of sacks. Every one of those guys has a key question, but I think really a lot of them could be real contributors if they fall into the right situation for them that can answer those questions. When I'm talking to the scouts that we have on our team, when I'm talking to Thomas Dimitroff, they say that you scout for what the guy can do, not for what he can't do, because good coaches and good front offices build around what the guys can't do to accentuate what they can do. And I got to tell you, 7 to 8 of these guys, including if you want to include Jihad Campbell, who is probably a true off-ball linebacker but does have edge rushing upside, have a lot of things that they can do really well.
Sam Brookhouse is with us, joining us ahead of the NFL draft from Sumer Sports. So a guy that I keep coming back to when I try to do the Venn diagram here of who's likely to be available and who do I think Washington likes based on what I'm hearing is Nick Skorton. Started at Purdue, finished at A&M, ended up having just 5 sacks this season, but he did have a 10-sack year 2 years ago in the Big Ten. What can you tell me about him, and what would you think about him as a pick for Washington at 29?
So it's an interesting setup with these defensive linemen from Texas A&M. In particular, you'll hear some names from these defensive lines that have a ton of studs. The first one you mentioned, Nick Skorton, Texas A&M. Shamar Stewart was on that line. Shamar Turner, who will be drafted probably day 2 or day 3, also on that line. Michigan and Ole Miss, similar things. Walter Nolan will probably be available in that zone, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. But with Skorton in particular, immensely productive at Purdue, something that I'm really interested in is his run defending capabilities. High tackle for loss rate when you're looking at all the snaps that he took and the production that he got against the run. I think his ability to be a bigger edge rusher who could potentially play the run super well while also providing some pass rush upside is key for his projection. And I think he probably could fit into, you know, a team like Dan Quinn's defense and the Commanders' defense. A guy who has been falling, though, is named James Pierce out of Tennessee. Edge rusher, has likely been falling due to off the field concerns, which I'm not a private investigator. I don't have all the data when it comes to, you know, the record or anything that these guys are hiring people to dig up information on. But what I can say is this time last year, he was expected to be one of the top guys in the draft. And at the end of the year, at the end of the season this year, he was still considered to be a top 5, top 10 level player. He's dropped since the combine, even though he had an excellent combine. The pieces are all there. You got to put him in a position which makes sense to, you know, nerf some of those character concerns or effort concerns. And who better than Dan Quinn to do that? Bringing in a speed rusher. We've seen him do it with Dorrance Armstrong. We saw him do it with Michael Parsons. I think it'd be a great fit, James Pierce, if he ends up falling to the Commanders, if they end up filling that edge role with James Pierce.
So, Sam, help me with the Texas A&M defensive ends. Why do they have like a sack and a half more than I do? this year? Is there something schematic-wise? Like, the Scorton especially, but I really want to go to Shamar Stewart, who is, like, off the world, or out of this world combine measurements and athletic scores and things where you go, oh, my God, look at this. And then, he had a sack more than a guy selling popcorn in Section 415. Why so little productivity in that regard from those defensive ends? I would just feel a lot more confident drafting either one of them had they ended up in the five or six range. Now, I'm not talking about even a world beater, just something more there.
So I want to start off at the high level. Data analysts have found, research has found, that sometimes when you're looking at sacks or just production, that it doesn't go year to year super well. So a guy, for example, in college who has a million sacks may not have a million sacks if he's really converting every pressure he gets. What we really want to know is how much he's beating the offensive lineman and how many pressures, which is a kind of subjective measure, but basically a measure of how is he disrupting the passer, even though he may not necessarily getting a hit. Basically, what can he do by himself to cause problems? All of those guys are very good at doing that. There was some schematic interesting elements. For example, Shamar Stewart, bigger guy. I think he looked more like 280, weighed in at 267 at the combine. I think he was probably playing at a more around 280 at A&M. He was lining up in what we call the foreye, the inside eye of the tackle. A lot harder to rush the passer there because you're not getting those one-on-one matchups. Sometimes the guard can help. Sometimes the center can help. That positional versatility is really valuable to teams, but it doesn't show up super well on the stat sheet that you get in your local newspaper when I'm talking sacks and tackles. As a result, when you look at the frame-by-frame, millisecond-by-millisecond level, he was immensely productive, and he was doing really good things in our artificial intelligence Sumer scores, even though it did not show up in the sack total. But sometimes you got to go down to it, like bringing it back to Moneyball. If he can hit so well, how come he doesn't hit good? He's going to have to turn a little bit more of that into production at the next level. But the question becomes, will he just be in a better position to do so in an NFL defense than he was necessarily lining up in the three tech and the four eye all the time because of the talent on that Texas A&M defensive line that could just completely dominate with pretty base techniques offensive linemen at the college level?
Sam Brookhouse, you see why we enjoy his insight from Sumer Sports. We're going to hear from Adam Peters in about an hour, so we're looking forward to seeing what he has to say about pick 29. Should be fun. Last one for me, trading back out of that round, this narrative that people are going to want to come up to get the quarterback to get the fifth-year option, I can't even think of an example of that in the last couple picks post-Lamar Jackson. But every team always wants to trade back, right? I mean, I'm sure the Chiefs have liked the idea of trading back for years. They haven't been able to pull the trigger. Should we expect that Washington can do that?
I'd suspect so. I've struggled to find trade partners per se. But here is probably the profile of a team that wants to trade up. The first is going to be a team that needs a tackle. There's only a couple guys who people really slate to not be a swing offensive lineman in this draft, period. Some people even think Will Campbell and Armand Membu all the way up at the top will probably end up being a guard at the next level. I don't necessarily agree with that. We've talked to Duke Manyweather, their trainer. He doesn't seem to think that. The data doesn't seem to indicate that. But that's just the general thought to give you an idea. In the back half of that first round, there's going to be a couple of guys who are going to be in discussions to be a true tackle. That's Josh Connerly out of Oregon, Simmons out of Ohio State, and probably Ariante Ursary, who is going to be more of a borderline day two guy out of Minnesota. If those guys start coming off the board, I'd suspect a team who really needs a tackle to kind of want to move up. The Chiefs are an example of this. If those guys start going, I wouldn't be shocked if they try to move up two or three picks as they did last year for Xavier Worthy in order to secure a guy that they think is going to be a tackle at the next level. The second, we talked about a little bit, those edges, after those 7 to 8 edges, if they all go in the first round, there's not going to be a lot more in that market until probably round 3 or round 4. And once you get into round 3 and round 4, there starts to be a lot of question marks about those guys. So that's the profile of a team that the Commanders may want to look at, a team perhaps looking to grab an edge before they all run out day one, or a tackle before they all run out day one. If they end up doing that, I would suspect them to try to go with a secondary player, primarily the cornerbacks in this draft. I'm talking Savon Ravel, Benjamin Morrison, all guys that struggled with injury, but appear to have, a borderline blue chip, just performance element to them or athletic element to them, despite the major question, what's dropping them down to into a different tier is a major injury. I'd suspect they end up going secondary if they end up trading back and allowing a team to select with their pick.
Sam, great with us as always, man. Appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the draft.
Appreciate y'all. I'm excited.
Zoomer Sports, go check him out. Sam Brookhouse joining us on Grant and Danny. I want to get into what he talked about at the very start of the interview, which was the suggestion today that maybe the Browns at 2, the Giants at 3 could be trading back. Let's do that next on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
If I have the number two pick and I'm the Browns and I know that I'm in an immensely analytical franchise, they employ the Jonah Hill character. from Moneyball, Paul DePodesta. He is now a vice president, has been for many years for the Browns, immensely analytical. Andrew Berry has an analytical background as well, their general manager. I am absolutely blowing up the Giants' phone at three just to see if they want to draft a quarterback. And if they want to draft a quarterback, say, well, we're taking calls from the Steelers. We're taking calls from the Saints. Because if they can trade back one spot, get extra draft capital, and still get Travis Hunter, who they've used, you know, the word Shohei Ohtani to compare to, that's a real win for me. So I think that's a lot of what's going on. Probably, you know, even some maybe prank calling just to see what you could get. I mean, after all, Luka Doncic was traded this year, right? So who knows what could happen.
And Sam Brookhouse of Sumer Sports, who joined us just a few minutes ago. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. He's referencing there this idea of a possible trade back that would turn the draft on its head. What's really incredible is, in a way that I would say far exceeds that of most years, there is tons of uncertainty after Cam Ward won. Because I think everybody knows he's going first overall to Tennessee. Beyond that, your guess is as good as anybody else's. I think 2 and 3 will probably be one of two players, and it's just whoever doesn't go second between Travis Hunter, the two-way player at Colorado, then Abdul Carter goes, and vice versa. But after those three picks, what the heck's going to happen? Nobody knows. But Peter Schrager was on ESPN today, and he suggested that teams are calling the Browns and the Giants, and so much has been made about, I'm using air quotes here, but this report. I just don't see this as groundbreaking, but here we go.
There have been phone calls made to both the Browns at 2 and the Giants at 3 with the intention to move up, from several different sources telling me there are teams who are looking to get up in this draft to either the 2 or the 3 spot. The assumption being to move up to the 2 or the 3 spot, it would be for Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, or the running back, Ashton Jeanty, who everyone expects to go somewhere in that 5 to 7 to 8 range. There have been teams making calls, and those teams are not immediately slamming down the phone. The Browns at 2, the Giants at 3. Everyone assumes it's going to be chalk, that this is going to go Cam Ward, it's going to go Travis Hunter, it's going to go Abdul Carter. Not so fast. I think the 2 spot gets very interesting if the Browns are listening to a godfather deal for them to trade back and someone to trade up into the top 3.
So that's a lot of words, and it's done in the way of, like, I've got something very important.
It's the Schefter School of Enunciation. Peter Schrager has gone to class.
Please listen to me here. Here's what he said. Teams are calling the team with the second pick and the team with the third pick to trade up, and those teams are answering their calls. Okay. Sometimes pizza has pepperoni on it.
What I'm hearing is the draft will take place on Thursday. That's what it is.
There was one nugget in there that I think actually is interesting or newsworthy or notable or worth saying on national television, which is that he did say that he thinks teams are coming up possibly to get Ashton Jeanty. Now, I don't know if that was his opinion being added to the idea that he knows these teams are calling, or if he's been told that at least one of the teams is coming up to get Jeanty, although I don't know how anyone would know that. But that would be the new development here. Jeanty, right now, the ceiling looks like 6 to the Raiders. And if you want him, you better get in front of Las Vegas at 6. So it's possible he goes 5. I don't believe that a team is going to trade a King's Ransom, the Godfather offer, as he puts it, to go way up the board to get a running back. We don't really see that. That's yesteryear. That's Ricky Williams in the wedding dress on the cover of SI with Mike Ditka. But that, of all the stuff he just said, is the one thing that interested me. Jeanty in the top 3 gets a from me. The rest of it was a yawn fest.
Well, it's also, what are you doing? I'm not talking about Peter Schrager, but I mean, what's happening? Teams that are incentivized to have a bidding war. You owe nobody anything if you're the Cleveland Browns at number 2. You have multiple options. Take multiple players, trade back. It is to your benefit for there to be clamoring for your pick. That can only be good. You're not required to take it. You're not required to take the trade-up offer, but you're hoping that people offer you more and more and more the Godfather offer. So who benefits? So there's where your story, you know, most likely came from. If you want Ashton Jeanty, you don't just sit there and try to go in front of the Raiders at 6. Maybe you got to do it at 3. Maybe you got to do it at 2. Again, who benefits? So this is the silly season. This is the week that we're in. right? Or the multiple weeks leading up to it. Everybody but Tennessee has to worry about it. Everyone else is dependent, right? So you're basically saying from a player's perspective, this guy's rising. From a team hoping that somebody falls, so maybe a negative slant, or this guy's falling down boards. You're hoping to kind of flush something out to get the result that you want. Because again, everybody else is kind of waiting and twiddling their thumbs to figure out what Cleveland's going to do at 2, the Giants are going to do at 3, and yeah, they kind of hold the keys to this draft. So it makes perfect sense that Schrager or whoever else would be able to get the word out for an executive going, dude, our phone is ringing off the hook. If people are clamoring for this number 3 pick, whether they are or not. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not as if the report's false, because I'm sure somebody told him that. But my point is, who's benefiting? And that's what's happening right now during the season. The same way during free agency, when you hear about all the interest a player is generating, probably came from the agent, who's hoping that there's more interest for his player. More interest means potentially more money for everybody involved. It's a normal part of the process. So, yeah, I basically hear that and I go, you got a nugget. You spoke to somebody. Maybe you spoke to a couple people. That's totally fine. Thanks for passing that on. I will sift through that and get the, Genty, people are maybe trading up for him. Hot and heavy, that's interesting, but I'm with you.
Cam Ward going 1, we know that, and then it's wide open. I do think Hunter and Carter, in some order, are going to be 2 and 3 to the Browns and the Giants. I don't think either of those teams trade back. And then at 4, things get started. Really, you can make the case they start at 2, because we don't know who the Browns are taking. But I just don't think they'll make a pick that won't be Hunter or Carter. For the Patriots, I'd like to see them go Will Campbell, the tackle from LSU. You got to help Drake May out with some protection there. The Jaguars pick at 5. Everybody's mocking Mason Graham to them, the D lineman from Michigan.
Michigan kid, yeah.
Schefter said today he does not think they'll take Mason Graham. Now, Schefter is not only the most plugged in NFL insider, but he also went to Michigan. And I would imagine because of his Michigan ties, he's got some inside information on that program. So I'll take his word for it. But the Jaguars at 5 could be really interesting as far as Ashton Genty goes. Because remember, Liam Cohen, their new head coach, he was the OC in Tampa last year, and their rookie running back, Bucky Irving, completely changed that offense, changed the complexion of the whole organization. Is one of the tougher guys to tackle in the National Football League statistically, making people miss in the open field. If they go get Genty at 5, as an offensive-minded coach coming over to Jacksonville, his goal is what? To help Trevor Lawrence. I don't think it's a big enough need because they've got Bigsby, they've got Etienne, but I wouldn't be shocked if they did that. Genty, though, to me, won't get past 6, but it's going to be probably as surprising a top 10 in terms of just not knowing with any certainty what's happening as we've seen in years. Tim's in Haymarket. What's up, Tim?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Hey, man.
Just want to say, you said trading up for a running back is a thing of yesteryear. The Lions traded up for Gibbs, and it changed the entire dynamic of their offense. Just wanted to – it's still a thing.
Well, that's true.
It's far more rare, I would say.
They did do that, but what I'm talking about is like coming up the board into the top 5. Peter Schrager saying that someone's going to go up to 2 or 3 to take Ashton Genty. Jahmyr Gibbs went 12th, I think.
Sounds right, yeah.
That doesn't sound like a big deal. That's closer to the second round than number 2 overall. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think they moved up and they gave up a 3rd-round pick to do it. I don't remember how many picks they moved up, but let me look this up here. The trade involved the Lions sending their number 6 and number 81 3rd-round pick to the Cardinals. They received 12, 34, and 168. So, yeah, it was like a convoluted thing where they gave up a 3, they gave up multiple selections, and they moved up 6 picks, or whatever it was. I don't remember the exact number here.
Because they had 2 first-rounders that year, if memory serves.
Exactly.
They also took a linebacker.
But they went up to 12. I'm saying, like, this idea that someone is going to come from 18 to 2 to take Ashton Genty.
Yeah, you're talking about the Herschel Walker deal. You're talking about the Ricky Williams deal where we go, our draft is done. We moved up to, to get
Julio
Ricky.
Well, the Julio Jones trade.
Or Julio
like,
Jones.
When the Falcons made you see that for quarterbacks. You almost never see it for position players anymore. Our double plays next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We are blitzing at 4 o'clock today around town. We'll get you ready for the Nats and the O's. It's James Wood Bobblehead Day over at Nationals Park. And we still got to get back into the Caps as well because they took a game 1 from Montreal last night and tomorrow have a chance to go up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
We'll be right back. This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks, and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At 4 o'clock and 15 minutes, our Beltway Blitz on the Caps, the Commanders, and Nats O's, which gets started a three-game set today. James Wood bobbleheads, back-to-back days today and tomorrow out at Nationals Park. I was told they're expecting close to 30,000 people at the game tonight.
Very nice.
Some of that could be some spring break, local flavor, some extra people getting out, but I think the bobbleheads will certainly help.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
That's
people
a big
like
crowd.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people coming down 95, plenty of Nats fans getting out to see the game. Let's get to our double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on the new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Only one episode in, but it's really good. This is a GP recommendation. Got my Boston Red Sox documentary, In Season with the Red Sox, whatever it's called. The Clubhouse, I think, is the name of it. This dude, Greg Whitley, I'm not sure how to say his name. I know this. He makes phenomenal documentaries.
Yes, he does.
This dude knocks them out of the park. The Last Chance U, Cheer. I mean, again, he made a documentary, multiple seasons, about a junior college cheerleading program that had me riveted. This dude is now to the point where he can make a documentary about a fleck of dust that follows him around for eight episodes. And I'd go, the new Whitley just dropped. Can't wait. This guy's so good at it. It's fantastic. If you like sports at all, this Clubhouse series with the Boston Red Sox, you already recommended GP. Only one episode in. I finished it finally, or gotten going on it finally in a little bit of spare time. But it's excellent. Really, really, really good. The thing that kind of hits you more than you realize, and I think you pointed this out, is the players less rope. Of course, you realize they're human beings. They're 360 panoramic individuals with ups and downs and different things going on in their lives. But like, they wear it harder than you'd ever think. I mean, part of being a big leaguer is that makeup, is having that nothing bothers me, nothing affects you. You know, you're playing 162, can't get too high, can't get too low. But these guys get low and are vulnerable and show it. I thought it was, again, even in that first episode, talking about some of the setbacks, the failures, beating themselves up for good performances or bad or otherwise. Really, really good. Again, nothing else to say about it. It's outstanding.
Yeah, it's, I think, just the perfect peeling back behind the curtain of the operation, which is at this point what I'm looking for in all my documentaries. Ideally about sports, but if it's not about sports, that's fine too. I want to get the behind the scenes. Did you see the new trailer for the Netflix doc about wrestling?
WWE? No, he's doing that one too, by the way. It's called Wrestlers or whatever?
Yeah. I don't know what it's called, but it's Triple H allowing you to see basically the behind the scenes in a way we never have before. They're going to show how they put a match together. They're going to show how they go about writing the various angles in this adult male soap opera. And we've never seen it.
Yep.
So he, unlike Vince, is saying, I think people are still going to be able to watch on Monday night and enjoy it for what it is, even if they know a little bit more.
You're not going to spoil it before Thursday night. Yeah, before Raw or whatever.
Because other than the little kids in the crowd, everyone already knows that it's fake. It doesn't change their enjoyment, right? Like, nobody in the crowd at WrestleMania when John Cena was fighting Cody Rhodes, and for some reason I still don't understand, Travis Scott came out and made the whole thing stupid. When that all happened, like, the 40-year-olds in the crowd with their hands on their head that are just, like, mouth agape, can't believe what just happened, those dudes know they're not really fighting and that Cody Rhodes isn't really in pain, but they're still emotionally invested.
Yeah.
And so Triple H's point is, this only helps us. If they know more about our people, they're going to like them more. If they know more about how we do things, they're going to appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really, really smart.
Yeah, it's a sports phenomenon that's now everybody gets. I mean, nothing has exploded like Formula One, nationwide, worldwide, etc. 100% based on that documentary.
Time for my double play. All right, I want to talk about an issue I'm having at home, and I want to know if any of you guys, boys in the back, you can relate to this possibly. I've got a mouse in my house.
Ah, buddy.
I don't know if it's more than one or if it's just one, but I've seen a mouse like three times over the span now of a couple of months. And this past week, after we thought like the mice problems were long gone, because it's been several weeks, apparently my wife saw like droppings on the basement carpet, and she's up against the wallboard.
Yep.
And she's like, we still got a mouse. And I'm like, really? So I got someone to come over, and they did whatever they do. The problem is, and this is where I have questions, they didn't, to my knowledge, lay down traps, or they were like, we could do traps or poison, but you have dogs and babies and kids, and we say you probably shouldn't do that. My wife's like, well, we're going away for a couple days anyway, so maybe you could do that. So there's a little confusion as to what they did and what they didn't do.
Okay.
So I've got to ask that question.
Okay.
But shouldn't I see the traps? Like, I looked all around in my basement. There's no traps. Now, they did leave two in the garage.
Okay.
But how am I supposed to get the mice out without traps? Is there another way to do it?
Yes.
Do they lay something down that smells so bad that they'll leave the house or go away and not come back?
No, there's some treatments that way.
Is there something invisible that I don't know about?
So, extensive dealings with this here. So, you come to the right place, all right? Multiple layers to it. What happens oftentimes, and I'm going somewhere with this. What happens oftentimes is somebody else makes a change to their environment. So what happened to us in our old place in D.C. was there was an apartment building, you know, a couple hundred yards away. Somebody sealed something or closed off an entryway or something, which caused this, you know, the whole Northwest D.C. population of mice just to have to leave. And they went and found new homes. And there was this rush. So they're going wherever they possibly can within the neighborhood. So everybody had an infestation. I mean, there was to the point where I think you remember doing these shows where we caught a dozen over a handful of months. Caught. So who knows how many were getting in and out. And finally, it was to the point it was so untenable, we basically said, we need the people to come over and seal everything off. Seal off entryways to inside as best you can.
Yeah.
And once you're inside the house, seal off places that they could possibly go. So that's foam that expands, that's tape in certain places, impenetrable stuff, whatever. So the point is, once that happened, whatever was in there, you catch or don't.
Yeah.
But it means no more coming.
Okay. I'm guessing that
they
told us or said, here's what you have to seal off or whatever. I wasn't there is the problem. But so I got to figure out exactly what they did. But I just thought I'd go down and I'd see like traps and different actual objects. And I'm not seeing them. But like last night, I got home from the Caps game late. I plopped down on the couch. I'm watching the Kings and the Oilers. And right along the floorboard under the TV, it was too dark. But I just saw like the motion of like something running along.
And now for the rest of your life, by the way, anytime you see any shadow or any movement, you think it's that.
It's possible it wasn't a mouse, but I'm 99.9% sure.
Great chance it was.
Right along the floorboard below the TV in the living room, going toward the basement.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't do this. I've never had mice in my house. I'm not going to be a mice guy today. I don't want to be a mice guy.
It sucks.
Chris is in Culpeper. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on? I actually work in pest control, termite, wildlife, and stuff. So, is this a townhouse situation, single-family home?
I have a single-family home, but it's like Lego houses that are like 15 feet apart, little alleys between them. But, yeah, it's a single-family home.
Do y'all leave the garage open to air out anything? Or?
So, like never overnight, but we leave the garage open a lot because the kids are playing and doing all kinds of stuff in the driveway.
Absolutely. Well, what happened is, well, mice... they naturally just get into everything. So if you leave the garage door open, they're going to go in there and see what's happened. If you got bird seed in there or any type of food for pets, they're going to find it. And what happens is they use the bathroom in those areas. So if they start pooping and peeing in your garage and other mice are going to be attracted to those areas, they're going to keep coming. So you have to sanitize, seal it up. I would check around the AC unit, make sure there's no hole around there.
Mm-hmm.
Check around the garage trim, make sure they haven't chewed out the
corners. But should I just lay down traps? Is that good? Like how to get rid of them? Or?
No, I mean, traps are great, but all you're doing is catching mice in your house. So it's kind of like counterproductive. All you're doing is catching them in your home. You're not really solving anything.
Yeah, the ceiling service is where you got to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Rodenticide, bait stations. It's all safe because you got children and stuff. It's all with lock and key. You check out, you treat the whole area. You have to go into the attic space because if they're using the bathroom up there, you can get a transfer effect where they just keep going up and down. So we treat those areas, treat the basement, take care of it that way. I'm more than happy to come out there for you. I can leave my information if you want me to come check it out.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I will Absolutely. Ask you some questions and I will get to the bottom of that. I don't know what I'm allowed to do or not allowed to do.
Sure.
I'm always scared of getting in trouble, and I'm not a junkie.
I think you should reach out to this person who's helpful
right.
to you.
Yeah. Just,
but we're not
I'll
promoting
ask
anybody.
Him questions,
yeah.
And then I'll pay a lot of money to someone else to make sure I don't get in trouble.
There you go.
Because I am not a junkie. But grab that guy's information for me, and I'll at least ask him what I should do.
So you call. I mean, the whole point is he's right. Once they're past the threshold, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff you got to worry about. Well, if you put traps down. You got to wear gloves while you do it because
yes.
they can't see very well, but they smell so well that they'll smell the human pheromones on the traps and avoid them.
I just want to make something very clear.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be getting any help from Chris and Culpepper.
He's allowed to help you,
he's
but not
going to fix right. anything for me personally. Okay. And remember, I have three children at home,
yep.
and I desperately just need to provide for them. So nobody get me in any trouble or fire me, mm-hmm. or if CK's listening... Please don't get mad at me. I just wanted to tell Danny that I had a mouse. That's all I was trying
right,
to do.
He's going to give you advice. That's not illegal.
I don't need any advice anymore. He gave me all the advice I could ever need.
Oh, come on. You can reach out to him for advice.
I just want to talk about the Capitals.
Okay.
They have a game two tomorrow.
All right.
I'm really excited about it.
I understand your reticence and nervousness. I share it. I never know what's allowed.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan, the Beltway Blitz on the teams in town you care the most about next.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.